Good morning. The function of the Nolan Show, since its inception actually, has always been to elevate a citizen's voice so that they can speak truth to power. Now, this morning, a domiciliary care worker is pleading for the leaders of this country to protect her and her colleagues, as she says she is terrified going into vulnerable elderly people's homes without enough masks. Now, this worker is employed by the Southeastern Trust and says she does about 14 visits during her shift, going through many different domestic houses on any given day to provide care to elderly vulnerable people. Now, these are exceptional times, and therefore the primary function of this lead story this morning, it's not about criticism of the health authorities, and it's not about political point scoring. There is no better way for health bosses or political leaders to learn quickly about how to protect their workforce better than actually hearing from them directly. And that is the function of this show today. So let's hope that these desperate pleas from a lowly paid, dedicated domiciliary health worker are heard loud and clear, and action is taken quickly to make our carers safer.
The reason why I contacted you, Stephen, was that we are not getting our PPE equipment when we asked for it. We had got a message, so we did, to say one of our clients was suspect of COVID. I was already in the house at lunchtime, unaware of this. And then when it came to reality, nobody knew where to get masks or nothing. Nobody knew nothing, didn't know the protocol. So it's putting the care workers under stress, going from house to house, so it is.
So you've been a care worker for decades now.
Yes.
So tell me what you are wearing when you're going into these houses.
Plastic apron for personal care in the mornings. We are wearing our rubber gloves at all times, which will be changed in the house between personal care, making food, hand sanitizer, and that's it.
How do you feel about that?
Rotten. Rotten. Because people are still going in and out of houses. I don't know where they have been. I don't know who they've been in contact with. And someone even are laughing at us. When we do go into the houses we have a mask for, we're taking it too far. My life is in hold because of it. I do have family. And it's very hard to come home. You have to strip right away, everything in for a boil wash and into the shower. If you do double shifts, it's twice a day you're doing that.
And does this leave you frightened?
Frightened's not the name for it. I know what crying is now. I know what a broken heart is. Thinking that I could leave my loved ones behind and tell my husband to self-isolate. It's not nice. The atmosphere, the morale has gone from the staff. We're going in and doing our utmost best. We're doing all our tasks and moving on to the next one. It's just absolutely disgusting.
What this programme does is it elevates the voice that you have so that the people in power in this country hear a voice like yours. So they will hear it today. The Department of Health will hear your voice today. The senior leading politicians in this country will be listening to you today. So what would you say to them in terms of your pleas for equipment?
Please, please listen to the domiciliary care workers out there. We are buckled on our knees with worry. Bring it home to our families. If you cannot supply us with masks, you're going to have to do something. The order has been made. The order's here. Get them out. Don't be counting them out to the girls. I don't know the next house I could go till could be diagnosed just that morning with it. I have to go in. I must have a mask to go in. If I have no mask, I take it upon myself for my health reasons to go on to look after that person. I can't walk away from it. No one can walk away from somebody that's sitting waiting on breakfast or anything else, medication or anything. Please, please, look after your domiciliary care workers, who is the frontline worker on the ground. We see more than the managers, your prime ministers, anybody else in Northern Ireland. But when voting comes, you're the first one at the door begging for the vote. stand up and be counted for now. I went into a house lunchtime, the loveliest family you ever met in north of Ireland. Daddy is suspect cold first. And I'm going, what? Your daddy was standing with me at the worktop at lunchtime, shoulder to shoulder, carrying on. We have great banter in that house. And she says, I can't go to your mama. I can't go. I have no mask, nothing. And I phoned my manager, and all I got was, oh, my God, where do I go now? Where do I go now? Where will I get masked at? You need masks. You need masks. Phone the helpline. I phoned the helpline. It wasn't going through. I phoned my very best friend who got me through last Thursday. I buckled when I heard I could have had it. And she sent me the same phone number. They had sent the phone number out with a digit missing, Stephen. A digit missing. And me buckled. I am an asthmatic and a very bad diabetic. I didn't get the letters that some of them got. I didn't want the letter. I just want to be safe in my job and look after my clients. They're precious to me. I wouldn't give it up for anybody. I just want to cry, Stephen. I really do just want to cry. And I haven't given up my morale to fight this. I will fight it till I take bad. But to phone your husband up and say, sweetheart, I love you, but don't come home. I think I have to be isolated. I have been with a person that's had it. And him breaking his heart, there's only him and me. We have no family. And we just idolise one another. He is my rock. And I phoned him back about 10 o'clock. I went to the shower. I stood 45 minutes. And I was that afraid. I scrubbed the blood to the top of my skin and my arm. I was so afraid. It's horrible. It's horrible, Stephen.
I know. My God. Horrible. I know.
It is absolutely horrible.
Stanley. Morning, Stanley. Thank you, Colin. Morning, Stanley.
Stephen, I'm just a wee bit upset today here, mate. I was just listening to the wee car worker and everything. And please, Stephen, get at these people who are not doing the job and bring the stuff to these CRE people. Absolutely heartbroken. Totally busted. Can't see my mommy, can't see my bobs. The grandkids are all affected. Everybody's nerves are wrecked. And please, Stephen, you've got a wee bit of authority here. Please get this sorted out. I'm absolutely busted, mate.
Stanley, I only have the authority because of people like you, okay?
I'm absolutely busted, mate. I swear I couldn't. I had to lift the phone, mate. I really had to. You really, please get at this here. Like that move, the case rises carry on. Please get at this here and hit it hard, please, for everybody.
Why are you so upset?
I'm just very annoyed. People out there doing a day's work and, you know, can't even get the stuff to help people. And that's all they're trying to do. They're so delicate. I'm absolutely busted. Absolutely busted.
You think of the fear that there must be with some of these workers, and you think of the humiliation where they're having to beg for equipment.
And Stephen, look, please, I can't stay on the phone too long, but do me a favour. Tell it hard, mate, please.
Well, we're going to ask for a response to this today from the Executive Office, from the First and Deputy First Minister, and from the Health Minister. We can't go any higher than that. So this is an issue very much for Arlene Foster, Michelle O'Neill, and Robin Swan. That's where this is. They need to listen not to me but to the workers on the ground, literally crying for help.
Exactly, mate. Totally busted today, mate. It's a lovely day too. Totally busted. Listen to that wee woman, you know.
Stanley, thank you. David, next morning, David.
Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, David. Go ahead.
Telling you, my wife's a car worker, and she's exactly the same. She works for a private company, though. But she's there at 7 o'clock in the morning. She's not coming in to half 10 at night. Now, she gets breaks in between. She does breakfast, lunches, teas, and bedtimes. And, I mean, these people go way beyond their duties. You know, they do shopping for these people as well.
Your wife is a care worker. Is she getting enough equipment, David?
No, she's not, no.
still?
No, she's not. She's just rubber gloves and an apron, that's it. I had a few masks that I'm at the building, and I had a few masks that I had used for their dust masks, and I give her them. You know what I mean? And as I say, they go way beyond. They do shopping for their wee clients and everything, and they're you know, if one of them passes away, they're brokenhearted, you know.
I know.
And they're doing this for £8 an hour.
Yeah, I get it.
You know, they're giving them medicines, they're washing them, they're feeding them. I mean, you get a job at McDonald's, you get £15 an hour. These people are only £8 an hour, like, you know.
David, thank you. Jim and Derry. Morning, Jim.
Morning, Stephen. Just wondering where the health and safety executive is in all this. That's their job, to look after employees. I know in my job, if I contravene any of their rules, they'll fine my employer, they'll shut the job down. They're quiet over them. I haven't heard a word of people out of them over all this. And I've been saying this since day one, because my daughters and my in-laws all work in the health service. There's nobody looking after their health and safety. That's the health and safety executive's job, and they're doing absolutely nothing.
Jim, thank you. Here's a Ballymena caller. Good morning.
Well, Stephen, I have a very unique view into this, because not only is my partner a carer, my father has carers going in, and I also look after a wee man, and he has carers going into it. And the carers do not have the PPE. My partner works for an independent company, and she does care for high-level people that would be extreme risk even from the normal cold. People that are disabled and all the rest, and they're not, they've gloves and apron, that's it. Now the simple thing is, when we seen this starting, I went and sourced stuff, alcohol, hand sanitizers, masks, to turn around and try and help. We put a shout out on Facebook to turn around and see, cause there's people actually making cotton masks, and at that point there was, you know, no cotton mask is better than no mask whatsoever. But it's just that there's sort of going to be a complete differential from, because she works for a private company, when you have your whole PPE that comes in for the NHS, that's not going to filter out to private companies. And they should be wearing, you know, every single call they go in, it should be a new mask, new gloves, new apron.
Well, that's exactly what... That's exactly what our domiciliary care worker was sent to us. Now, Claire contacted us. Her father is terminally ill and has home carers. She is yet another example of someone who has come to the Nolan Show to tell us that carers visiting vulnerable people's homes are not wearing PPE to keep everybody safe.
So my dad is 84, as is my mum, and she looks after him at home. Now, he has multiple things wrong with him, and he has for about 4 or 5 years, but ultimately at the minute what we're dealing with is lung cancer, and he has Parkinson's. So he has carers that comes in 4 times a day, who are fab. They're really great bunch of girls and guys. They've nothing, Stephen. They don't have aprons. Yes, they've gloves, but, you know, these guys are coming in and they're dressing my dad, they're washing him, they're changing his colostomy bag, they're doing his night bag, and they've nothing. They're just coming in with their carer's uniform on and their gloves, in and out. I don't know how many houses those guys must have to do every day. I know they're in ours 4 times, and they're given absolutely no protection. And for me, I'm following the government guidelines. You know, you're not to go near vulnerable or elderly people, your relatives. And I get it. I totally get it. But at the same time, you know, the people that we are rely upon, like, you know, the carers get into my parents' house to do the essential things, because my mum can't do it. They're not even affording those carers. The protection, not only to protect themselves, for them going home to their families, but also their patients. You know, it's a dual concern I have, and I'm so glad that it has been flagged up now properly and raised, because, you know, for days I've been listening, and all the concerns I fully appreciate too with the NHS staff and the care homes, but there's thousands of people that rely upon care in their homes, as you know, and I can only talk for myself, but what I know is my dad's carers are given no protection.
I think what is happening is the authorities, the Department of Health in Northern Ireland, and you know the First and Deputy First Minister, because they all are made aware of what happens in this programme on a daily basis. I think there's a very good chance that they will be realising that there's an issue of public confidence now emanating from voices across Northern Ireland saying that they want to trust their guidance and they need to trust their guidance. But how is that guidance consistent if they're allowing carers to go into homes with gloves and an apron? And that needs to be explained to people. If that guidance is robust, how is it robust? How is it safe, Claire? That's what you're saying.
Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, I suppose to, and when I look at my parents' situation, my mum's the same age, 84, relatively fit. But, you know, if anything happened to her, what then would happen to my dad? You know, so there's actually two vulnerable people in that household, one more so than the other.
Tell me what's happening when they're getting out of your dad. What's happening? Your dad's terminally ill.
Yeah. So in the mornings, they would come in and they would wash and dress him. So he stays in our kitchen, he's in a full hospital bed, everything. And they wash him, they dress him. And then they would come in and out during the day. So they come four times. So their lunchtime visit, they would check his stoma bag, check his catheter. And they would do that again in the afternoon or maybe put him back to bed if mum feels that he needs to go back to bed. And then in the evenings, if he's still been up, they would dress him, put him back in his pyjamas, change his bags again, so put his night bag on, clean his stomach, whatever needs done. So it's really intimate, personal care that he's getting with people that are not being given any protection at all to carry out those duties.
Well, they've got gloves and an apron, isn't that right?
Yeah. But, I mean, they're going into, you know, tens of houses per day. And it's not the same two guys or girls or mixture of guys and girls coming in each visit. That, you know, they chop and change. They're different.
Yeah.
So you don't know where these people have been, the number of houses they've been into. And it's not them that I'm criticising here at all, but the situation and the position that they're being put in at the minute, it's just insane. It really, really is.
We've heard this morning from a care worker literally crying for help around this.
Doesn't surprise me. Every day they just must be absolutely dreading what lies ahead. I mean, who wouldn't?
So what would you say to the people in authority in this country?
They just really need to get their act together. This isn't rocket science. If the most vulnerable people in our society need to be protected, well, give the people that are protecting them the right equipment and the right protection in order to do their job as best they can. That's all anybody can ask.
The Department of Health would tell us that the apron and the glove is currently what the UK guidance suggests should be used.
But how is that going to protect? If we're talking about sneezing or any of the you know, aerosol-generated kind of germs, an apron and a glove is not going to be sufficient for that. They need to have masks. I think the carers need to feel that people care for them and they're not just kind of being put in the firing line here on the front line and just kind of left to manage as best they can. Definitely, if I was a carer, I would feel that people had just forgotten about me, but I don't forget about them because I don't know what I would do if my parents didn't have those guys going in. It really worries my mum. I think she's just kind of resigned herself that the likelihood is we're probably going to get this. And like, that's an awful, awful situation to put our elderly in society in. If we're relying on people to go in and look after our vulnerable and elderly, well, give them resources and tools they need to do that.
Voices like yours will help raise this matter at the top of government, and we'll make sure that happens. And thank you for talking to us today.
Well, thank you very much, and I do. I really appreciate you bringing this to the fore because it's a massive, massive problem. Thank you, Stephen. Bye. Bye-bye.